8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Oh, radio, radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast. Whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
699. This is Andy Stuhl for the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive, and I'm speaking with Sadie Woods. Hi, Sadie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So Sadie is an award-winning post-disciplinary artist, curator, and DJ, and in a moment we're going to hear a radio artwork she produced in 2021 as a resident artist in Wavefarm's Transmission Arts Residency Program. The piece is called The People's Radio. But the occasion for our interview here in October 2022 is this work's inclusion in an exhibit at the Hyde Park Art Center in Chicago. Sadie, could you tell us a bit about that exhibit?
Yes, the Hyde Park Art Center exhibition is a celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Seldoms, which is a local dance company in Chicago. And the artistic director, Carrie Hansen, worked with Allison Peters Quinn, who's a curator at the Hyde Park Art Center, to pair dancers with visual artists. So there's four pairs of us. I'm one of four artists featured in the exhibition. So I chose to exhibit The People's Radio. It's the first time it's being shown in an exhibition context, and created it as an installation. And the piece is like a bookshelf with stereo inside of it and ephemera and books that were related to the research that I used to create this piece. And this piece is focused on specifically Fred Hampton as a public figure in the Black Panther Party, Illinois chapter, and also looked at some of the political speeches that were happening by him and the Black Panther Party, and juxtaposing it, if you will, against music from the time period or music inspired by the time period to contextualize what was happening at that time. And specifically, I was looking at music of Motown, because Motown at the time didn't want to be associated with any of the political movements that were happening. And they were really about respectability politics. But what I found interesting was people like Fred Hampton and Rap H. Brown used Motown songs and played them during their public speeches. Like, for example, Someday We'll All Be Together. We'll Be Together. Someday We'll Be Together by the Supremes was one of the songs that Fred Hampton played. And Dancing in the Streets was one of the songs that Rap H. Brown played, right? So these songs in turn also gained popularity because of how they used it. And they were also then associated with the movement anyway, regardless of Motown wanting to be involved or not. And as a result, after that time period, Motown actually ended up starting a sister label called Black Forum, where they released a series of political recordings. And it was only around for 2 years, but they did have recordings from folks like Dr. Martin Luther King. They also had Ozzie Davis and Bill Cosby. They also released a recording of Vietnam veterans, you know, things like that. And so
that's fascinating.
It is quite fascinating. And I wanted to include that history in the piece as well.
Yeah. So with this work being exhibited in Chicago as an installation, I gather there's a strong kind of local and regional connection with the sounds that you drew upon in the original piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I definitely wanted to focus on the Chicago chapter because there was a lot of revolutionary things that happened there. And, you know, Fred Hampton was definitely inspired by it. Folks like Dr. Martin Luther King in his later years and thinking more radically about self-determination and the principles that he was teaching during his time.
Yeah. So visitors to the center to this exhibit are encountering this piece in a different context, that drawing different connections and perhaps than the listeners who heard it over the air through WGXC or other radio stations. I'm curious if you could, you know, kind of return to that original moment when you were planning and creating the piece. I'd love to hear how the radio art context at Wave Farm shaped your original approach to what became the People's Radio.
Yeah, I was thinking about radio as a technology that was used for political warfare, right? Like thinking about the connection between military and consumer cultures. And so what I was looking at specifically with radio was how radio has been also used to propel Black thought, Black creativity, oral histories, and using what was intended for a weapon, right, as mm-hmm. political warfare to propel these other ideas. And so in turn, using it as a tool, right, and using it as a creative weapon and a political weapon in that respect, using sound, using music. And, you know, oftentimes folks will treat music as entertainment, and not necessarily viable sources of oral histories, but I think of music as, you know, historical doctrines. So I was thinking about it in that respect and also contextualizing it in that respect as well, using sound and ephemeral materials.
Yeah, that really comes through in the piece and something that really grabbed me when I first read your description for the People's Radio. As you wrote that the work explores radio as a technology developed and pioneered by the U.S. military industrial complex as political warfare, and public radio as a conduit for Black expressive culture and radical imagination. And so you've just reiterated that as well, but I'm a radio history researcher, so that sentence was immediately compelling to me. But then the piece itself surprised me again with how powerfully and elegantly it uses these kind of straightforward moments of juxtaposition between the different recordings to draw out that history and to explore that contrast. So how did you end up arriving at that technique? You've explained kind of why Motown and why the Black Panthers, but how did your kind of travels through this archive lead to this particular mode of juxtaposition?
I've been working on mixtapes for several years and collecting things like music, of course, speeches, and then also actual physical sounds from uprisings or ephemeral things that you would experience if you were in a space in real time, right? So like thinking about all of those things together as an experience, as if you were in the space with these people at the same time. And so this piece comes after It Was a Rebellion, which was released publicly in 2020, but I first performed it in 2017 as a pirate radio broadcast. And so I have been kind of building up these sort of projects over time. And It Was a Rebellion is a bit different. It's quite longer. It's over an hour, and it was performed first as a pirate radio broadcast across the street from a police black site in Chicago. And this is also like thinking about local histories. It's in a neighborhood that was affected after Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, where uprisings happened and have been documented as riots. And I was looking at the language around riots, how it has been racialized and weaponized, and really having a critical conversation around the cause of uprisings, right? Mm-hmm. The conditions that create those kind of responses, and then actually looking at the different roles that are active within that, right? You have rioters, you have looters, you have protesters, and there are right. different things, and they're usually different groups of people. You have agitators as well. And during the history, research of the history of those uprisings, you know, typically there's police involvement in agitation, and also people from outside the community that initiate the rioting, the looting, and the damage of property, right? So they're not always initiated by protesters. And so I think we have seen the most critical social dialogue around that in 2020 after the murder of George Floyd. Because at that point, people really couldn't deny what was happening. It was well documented from the incident to the aftermath to, you know, uprisings that happened around the world. And we were actually able to see in real time because of people documenting with their phones. And it was quite a movement. And with the internet, you know, you have that kind of connectivity now.
Right. Yeah. I think the People's Radio is such a crucial example of just how, you know, reviving a historical moment can kind of tap into or resonate with the energies that are, you know, in this case, tragically still all too relevant in our current year. I'd love to hear a bit more about just how your artistic practice has come to have such a historical bent, or how historical research kind of feeds into your artistic work.
Yeah, I think that this is like, it's been developing over a long period of time. Some of it has been through conversations with my peers, a lot of it. And I've always had an interest in looking at citizenship. And it's something that I had been working on through exhibitions for about 20 years, right? So these are concepts that I've sat with for a long time, but my understanding of those things have changed over time just through lived experience and of course aging, right? So having a deeper understanding of these things. But it's been something that I've been interested in really looking at, and why we have why was there a need to have a Black Panthers party, right? Mm-hmm. Like what are these things in response to, and looking at the conversations that have, you know, are continuing to happen, like conversations around abolition, conversations around reform. Those conversations have been around since the late 1800s, early 1900s. Hmm. You know, they're not new concepts. And we're still having those same conversations. So I was looking at what is the through line of these tropes, and how do they relate to now? And, you know, with the uprisings, they've been recorded to happen around every 50 to 60 years. So you can even look at our history. In the early 1900s, there were race riots. In mm-hmm. the 60s, there was protests happening all over the nation. And then you have the uprisings that happened across the world, you know, like a couple years ago. And so all of those things are connected. And so that's what I have been working through, through pieces like the People's Radio.
Yeah, I find it so rare to you know, be able to kind of experience the, you know, just the energy that was present in a historical moment, and what you described earlier as kind of undoing this, in the case of Motown, intentional sort of distancing from the political context that it was in fact part of. I think just you've offered listeners a chance to really be experience the radicalism of that moment, and the energies that have since been kind of flattened in some of this work, even as it continues to circulate in pop radio or oldies radio. So I think it's a really remarkable feat you've pulled off in the People's Radio. And I understand that you also have an additional piece that is part of the same exhibition in Chicago.
Yes. So I'm working on another piece that I'm right now calling A Meditation on Civil Rights. And this piece in particular is was created for choreography. So with the pairings that Carrie Hansen and Allison Peters Quinn made, there's visual artists with dancers. And so I am paired with Damon Green, who also has been doing his own research in civil rights and looking at a lot of texts from writers like Baldwin. And so for this piece, I put together James Baldwin with The Last Poets. And the work is talking about why fighting for citizenship, right? If you're fighting for citizenship, if you're a citizen of a country, you shouldn't have to fight for civil rights. So I took quotes like that and put them alongside The Last Poets, saying things like no prisons, no locks, no keys, no killings. And looking again, like, at these conversations that, you know, have been happening for decades, and putting them together and contextualizing them within the current moment.
And for listeners who will be in Chicago this fall, how long do they have to catch these two works?
The exhibition is up through November 13th at the Hyde Park Arts Center in Hyde Park, Chicago. There are also programs that will be happening on Saturdays as well throughout October. So I would just, you know, visit the website at the Hyde Park Arts Center for those exact dates. And the show will be up during business hours through the November 13th.
Wonderful. Well, Sadie, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you. It's been great.
That was artist Sadie Woods. And here is The People's Radio.
We out here trying to educate, trying to inform, trying to organize, and trying to teach the people some revolutionary political power and have them to arm themselves. We know that once the people are armed, those people cannot be oppressed, and they cannot be repressed without any type of retaliation. And retaliation is the only thing in the world that's ever going to stop fascism. It's not a question of nonviolence or violence. The question is between resistance to this fascism or even non-existence within fascism.
Train are coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Why is that harassment? Because the people that harass me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of the organization who will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not, and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people.
About the people. We're going to stand together. We're going to have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance of solidarity. We're going to have some progressive whites, all of us. And we're going to march on this pig power structure. And we're going to say, stick them up. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people.
Power. trust. You might murder a freedom fighter, but you can't murder a freedom fighter. And if you do, you come up with people that you thought should be acting like pigs, just acting like people and moving on pigs. And that's what we've got to do, regardless of what these people think we should do. Because nothing's more important than stopping fascism, because fascism will stop us all.
Ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena? Social phenomena. What is the social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people begins to learn that the social phenomena is that in fact U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist, imperialistic America is a police state. That a police state exists here, that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the avaricious businessman and the demagogic politician, protecting the exploiting system that they got going. That in fact we are tired of it, we are sick of it, you've been brutalizing black people, you've been murdering and lynching them, black people are tired of it. Black people in the vanguard of this revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena. We are concerned with that exploitation. We are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other peoples in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is that we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. Get organized.
We're gonna stay right here with the people.
We're going to have to move, and we got to move fast, we got to move hard, and we're going to have to move organized.
said all power to all people. He said white power to white people. Brown power to brown people. Yellow power to yellow people. Black power to black people. X power to bulls to be left out. We say Panther Power to the Vanguard Party. When you leave here, you hear saying the last words, before you go to bed, and I say, I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it, and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting grounds. Say that. Then I am a revolutionary.
Try.
You just heard The People's Radio by artist Sadie Woods, composed in 2021. The People's Radio is part of an exhibition at the Hyde Park Arts Center in Chicago this fall 2022, as is a second piece that Sadie herself is here to introduce.
Hi, I am introducing A Meditation on Civil Rights. It is a mashup of James Baldwin and The Last Poets. And this work is looking at James Baldwin as a civil rights movement figure and his critique later in his career on the civil rights, where he states, if you are a citizen, you shouldn't have to fight for civil rights, right? And so really thinking about what that means from that time through today, and also pairing that with The Last Poet's song, What I Want to See, which includes lyrics like no prisons, no locks, no keys, no killings. And what I have done is put Baldwin's voice rhythmically over the song, so they're actually in conversation with each other.
Thanks so much, Sadie. Here is A Meditation on Civil Rights.
Mind. of a meal, not fit for a dog.
That was A Meditation on Civil Rights by artist Sadie Woods. Prior to that, we also heard The People's Radio, a work that Woods produced at Wave Farm in 2021. If you're listening to this in fall of 2022, and if you'll be in Chicago before November 13th, then you'll have the opportunity to experience both these pieces as part of an exhibition at the Hyde Park Arts Center, where The People's Radio appears in installation form and A Meditation on Civil Rights accompanies performances by dancer Damon Green. I'd like to thank Sadie Woods once more for joining us today to talk about this work. You can learn more about Woods and her radio art practice in Wave Farm's Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
Oh, that narrow, nine.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellows. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
Zero, zero, and eight, and ten. Zero, and eight, and ten. Two, zero, zero, six. Two, zero, zero, six. Eight, two, eight, six, zero. 8, 2, 8, 6, 0, 9, 8, 6, 8, 0, 9, 8, 6, 8, 0, 5, 0, 5, 5, and 5, 0, 5, 5, and 4, Sis, zero, got, zero, got, sis, zero, got, zero, sis, set, zero, de, huit, sis, set, zero, de, huit, sis, zero, neuf, huit, quatre, six, zero, neuf, huit, quatre, six, un, huit, sept, deux, six, un, huit, sept, deux, neuf, cinq, neuf, un, huit, neuf, cinq, neuf, un, huit, neuf, un, six, neuf, quatre, neuf, un, six, neuf, quatre, six, huit, six, neuf, neuf, six, huit, six, neuf, neuf, fini, six, huit, six, neuf, neuf, fini.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.